Verse 12. That they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why do people not receive the Lord really and truly? It's not because they don't have enough intellectual ammunition. It's because they love their unrighteousness. Now back to Revelation chapter 13. We left off at verse 14, verse 15 now. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? They refused to listen to King Nebuchadnezzar's ragtime band. Whenever the band played, everybody was supposed to bow down and worship this image of Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Jewish kids, they're not going to do that. And so they didn't bow down. And do you remember what happened? They were picked up and they were tossed into the fiery furnace. And then the Bible says they stoked the fire seven times hotter. They chunked in these three young men. And then everybody was looking around and somebody says, hey, I thought we threw in three fellas. But in the midst of the furnace, there are four. And the fourth is like the Son of God. What a picture. Fiery furnace is one of those idioms, models, metaphors for tribulation of the Jews. There was a furnace of Egypt. There was a furnace of Babylon. There's another fiery furnace coming. It's the Great Tribulation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they represent the people of Israel. And they don't see their Messiah until they're in the midst, if you will, in the middle of the Great Tribulation. So if Nebuchadnezzar is a model of the Antichrist, the furnace is a model of the tribulation, and Shadrach, Meshach, and off to bed we go, they are a model of Israel, and it's in the book of Daniel. Where's Daniel? He's not there. I don't know where he is. He's probably on affairs of state, I would assume. But check the model. You've got the Antichrist, the fiery furnace, the great tribulation, and they see their Messiah in the midst of the flame. Where's Daniel? He's not there. He is a model of the church, in my opinion. Check out Daniel chapter 3. Do you know what the measurement was of this fiery furnace? 666 cubits. I'm just saying. Check out all the sixes in Daniel chapter 3. It's an interesting study. To quote John Corson, by the way, you know, be careful when you're listening to the world's music too much. Like Nebuchadnezzar's ragtime band, top 40 hits. Because it becomes tougher and tougher not to bow down to its idols. By the way, why is the number 6 interesting? All the numbers in the Bible are interesting. The number 2 is the number of witness. The number 3 is redemption. Moses was what child? Number 3. 3's the redemption of God. 4 seems to be the number of God's creation. 5 seems to be God's number of grace. 7 is God's number of completion. How many days in a week? How many continents on the planet? How many oceans on the planet? Visible bands of color in the rainbow. Oh, it goes on and on. In music, etc., etc. If 7 is God's number of completion, 7 plus 1, 8. 8 is starting over, new beginning. How many humans were in the ark of God after the flood? 8. Cool, Steve. 7, God's number of completion. 8, God's number of renewing. Well, what's 7 minus 1? 6. Incompletion. What day was humans created on? I'm just saying. We're not done cooking yet. 6 is the number of man. We're going to see here in a minute. You can't buy or sell. You can't participate in the economic system of the Antichrist unless you take on a number of his name. And the number is 666. So you shouldn't stay in a hotel room that has 666 on the door. Listen to me talk. Last time I had to go get my license plate, I roll up to the DMV, and I was in there for 5 years. And have you been in 5 years in the DMV? So I was down there, and I did all the waiting, and then I got down to the counter. It really did happen. So she goes, she typed up all my stuff, and she slid license plate across. And it was 666, letter, letter, letter. And I went, I'm not going to take that. Now, even if I did, the real 666 is you are pledging allegiance to, knowingly, this Antichrist. 666, what's the big deal? Six is the number of man. Three times three is the number of redemption. Man, or a man, redeems. No, God redeems. This is a blatant smack in the face of the Antichrist. I got your Trinity for you, God. And watch the humans eat it up with a spoon. The false prophet, verse 16, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, Republican and Democrat, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Now that word for on is the Greek word epi. It does mean upon, and the translators are certainly okay with saying on here. If you have a King James, it says in your right hand or in your forehead. And you can't blame the translators. How could you read a mark of any kind if it was under the skin? A.T. Robinson, who is really one of the great Greek scholars of all time, he says that this word epi, as you take it with the words that are around it in the same sentence, is the same as Acts 1, verse 21, where Jesus came in and out from among or from within them, epi. He says in also. Yeah, you know, I get that. How could a mark be read if it's in and not on the skin? We're all familiar, aren't we, with microchip RFID technology that you can have planted under the skin, a little rice-sized piece of technology that now is powered by the movement of your muscles, which discharges just a little bit of electricity that this little grain of rice-sized RFID transponder can be powered from. Either in the passive mode, where you walk under a sensor that chirps, and then this one responds and tells you who I am. Or in the case of your pets, some of them have transponders that they can actually broadcast a little bit of a chirp. And then that chirp can be read and picked up by satellites in some cases. If you find three geosynchronous satellites, for you trigonometry fans, you can triangulate the exact position. Some of your pets, even now, can be seen on radar. I don't know that it would be a chip. There are technologies now that are dealing with not RFID in the form of a chip, but little baby, really nano-sized fluids that are also encapsulated inside a chip that is not susceptible to irritating the skin. How fluids behave at the molecular level. Suffice it to say, I don't know what it's going to be, you guys. I don't know what it's going to be. Is it going to be a chip? Is it going to be a tattoo? Something is coming. If you travel to Mexico, to Canada, if you go across the ocean, any place in Europe, you can take out your ATM card from Sparks, Nevada, zip it through some ATM machine in Europe or Russia, and it will work. The hardware and software is already in place. Do we see how close we are? Verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It could be a combination of these. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast or the Antichrist. For it is the number of a man, the number 666. Six is the number of man. Six three times is redemption by this fellow specifically. This is called gematria or gematria, however you pronounce it. You have to put the right emphasis on the correct syllable. Is anybody awake out there? Are we okay? Is this on? It's on? You spell out somebody's name in Greek, or for that matter, Hebrew, and then you just add up every one of the letters has a corresponding numerical value, and that's how you do it. And so in that respect, a lot of people have been trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. Somebody put in Barney the dinosaur, and it worked. People got really excited in the 60s because Henry Kissinger, his name does the same thing, adds up to be 666. We saw in Thessalonians, none of us will know who he is until when? Until he is the one who enforces the seven-year treaty with Israel. That's the only way that we'll know. And it could be his name, or it could be a title. The Great and Awesome Oz, whatever it might be. I wanted to read an article that Nicole brought to my attention not long ago. Listen to Haaretz Daily, which is an internet website. What the Jews in Israel are sort of looking for. One of my favorite sites is called askmoses.com. You sign up and then you can ask a rabbi any question that you want. When I've asked, what are you looking for in your Messiah? You don't believe that Jesus was your Messiah. No, we don't believe he is the one. Okay, well then who and what are you looking for? And you know what the answer is? They're looking for a man of peace who will give them rest from their enemies and who will help them build their temple. Nicole brought this article to my attention not long ago from Haaretz Daily, quote, according to a Jewish tradition, prophecy disappeared with the destruction of the second temple in Jerusalem, 70 AD. In other words, how come there's no more Isaiahs and Malachis? Everyone pretty much largely regards Malachi as the last prophet in Israel. So we read in the Babylonian Talmud, quote, ever since the temple was destroyed, the prophets lost their ability to prophesy. And that ability was transferred to rabbinical scholars. Why was God suddenly silent in 70 AD? The answer is God wasn't silent. Amen. He became Jesus Christ and paid for our sin. Why was the temple allowed to be destroyed? Because God is trying to tell the Jews, you don't need a temple anymore. Jesus Christ fulfills every acumen, every teaching, every obeyance, every observable rite and ritual Jesus fulfilled. Haaretz goes on, we are witnessing a spiritual reawakening in Israel. There are various movements seeking a link between the human world and the realm of mysticism. How many of you have heard anything about the Kabbalah? Who is the material girl? Madonna. That's really bad that I know that. Come on, in vogue. Oh my. She was into the Kabbalah, still is, the mysticism. Today we are witnessing, Haaretz goes on, a spiritual reawakening in Israel. There are various movements seeking a link between the human world and the realm of mysticism. These movements beg the question, can prophecy return to the Jewish people in our generation? He is saying here they're hungry for it. Article goes on. New subjects are thus being added today to the curriculum of the traditional learning center called the Beit HaMidrash. Hebrew literature, Jewish legend, religious poetry, and Jewish mysticism. Books that were once studied only by a select few in the past have now become bestsellers. The population is hungry for the supernatural. Such phenomenon reflects a deep longing for prophecy. And with great respect to our Jewish friends, it's coming. Got one more thing to show you. Ready, Chris? This was in Arutz Shiva, which is also IsraelNationalNews.com. It's dated June 16th, 2014. Listen to this. In the Old Testament, you're supposed to work the land for 6 years. The seventh year, you're supposed to let it rest. Did Israel get in trouble for that because they didn't observe the Shemitah? The answer is absolutely. They didn't observe the Shemitah for 490 years. How many years did they owe God? 70. How many years did God take the Jews out of their land into captivity in Babylon? 70 years to get the land its rest. God was watching. Earlier this month, Finance Minister Yair Lapid, he declared there is a terrible drought in Israel. And many of the rabbis are saying, of course there's a drought. You're not observing the Shemitah. This was June 16th, 2014, this article. Quote, the Knesset Finance Committee on Monday, because of the drought maybe, authorized the establishment of a subcommittee to deal with the upcoming Shemitah year. Did you know that this September is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year? It will begin a seventh or a Shemitah year. At the end of the Shemitah year will be the following September in 2015. Can any of you remember some significant events that happened in, 2001? In America, the Twin Towers went down. Our stock exchange plummeted 700 points. 7 years later was 2008. Can you remember any financial challenges in America, at least in 2008? Everything gained from 2001 to 2007, everything gained was lost plus 10%. The Dow dropped 777.7 points. The Knesset Finance Committee on Monday authorized the establishment of a subcommittee to deal with the upcoming Shemitah year. The subcommittee will be chaired by M.K. Zvulun Kalfa, chairman of the Knesset Agricultural Committee. At its first stage, until further funding is forthcoming, the subcommittee will have to conduct all of its activity at a budget of only $103 million. What is the $103 million for? Setting aside to pay farmers to leave their land fallow for 1 year. What are you saying, Steve? Israel is about to jump back on the Shemitah cycle. The next Shemitah year will begin this coming Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, in September. The Torah commandment to leave fields fallow for 1 year every 7 years involves many complicated halakhic or Jewish legal issues. The opinions differ on how best to adhere to the laws without unduly harming farmers' livelihood. Another $2 million will be used for a special Hakel ceremony. What is the Hakel ceremony? We've got it on our website. It is astounding. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, for the first time in 19 centuries, the Jews observed the Hakel. That's not that long ago. To take place at the Western Wall at the end of the Shemitah year, according to the Torah, the entire nation is to gather at the temple at the end of the Shemitah year to hear the Torah read in public by the nation's leaders. The balance will be used to support farmers who need assistance in fulfilling Shemitah properly. Israel is in a tremendous drought. What were they commanded to do when there was a famine in the land and when there was no rain? They were supposed to get into the Bible. Deuteronomy 28 tells them. Let's all stand together. We said on Wednesday night, when we find a dry season in our life, Deuteronomy 28 makes it very clear. It's not a climactic condition. It's a heart condition. Lord, I was so impressed this week by what we talked about on Wednesday. I almost fashioned an entire message this morning. Something akin to, are you dry today? Is there a famine in your relationship? A dry season in your marriage, in your job, where you live, where you work, and even in church. The human instinct is to point a finger. Well, yeah, I've got emotions, but it's their fault, his fault, her fault. When God very plainly in Deuteronomy 28 says, it is a sin issue. There is sin in the land. I didn't say it, God's word did. Israel is noticing there is no rain. The rabbis are saying, yeah, because there's sin. They're focusing on the Shemitah. But we know better. In Washoe County, in the Truckee Meadows, is there a dry portion? Are you in a season of drought? Is the word of God dry? The ceilings brass? Humbly, respectfully, may he show you if he is withholding himself to some degree, because there is sin in our lives. Husbands, are you loving your wife like Christ loves the church? Or do you have a whole list of what she did and what she said? Wives, are you bugged at your husband, or are you his biggest sense of support? Is there rebellion in your thinking? Are you not listening to the authorities that God has placed in your life? Because you know better and your yabbits are huge? Oh, Harvest family, or if you're listening within the sound of my voice, Lord, let us be real, get quiet before you, get our Bibles open in our lap, cry out and say, Lord, there's a famine in my heart. There's a dryness in my spirit. The songs that used to lift me up in worship, I now just kind of go, eh. Lord, let the waters of revival flow through Harvest Family Fellowship today. And may begin with the stubborn, stiff-necked thing that I always do when God's conviction, loving, holy hug is upon me. I say, no, God. Because I have a right to hold this grudge. Wash through this place, I pray, in Jesus' name. As John Corson says, because he loves you so much, it's like there's a rubber band. And you move away from God's heart and away from God's obedience. Because he loves you, he's never going to let you go. But there's a rubber band attached to you. The farther you go out, look out, the greater you're going to snap back. John Corson entitled that sermon, Splat. Oh, Lord, let it come, Lord, because I need to get back into your will, back into your passion. And truth be known, if there's a dryness in my soul, that must be sin in my life somewhere. Lord, Psalm 139, search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me first. Then let me speak to my spouse, my authority, my boss, my supervisor, my kids. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.